Good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 22. Luke 2, 22. And while you're finding that, let me ask you a question. Have you ever waited eagerly for something or someone very special? Maybe it was waiting for a holiday to come around that you could celebrate with loved ones. Maybe it was a vacation you were looking forward to so you could just rest. Or perhaps you were separated from a loved one and you eagerly waited to be reunited with them. Well, the title of the sermon today is Worth Waiting For. Here in Luke chapter 2, we will meet two people in particular who had been faithfully waiting for the coming of Christ. And these two people will get to witness Jesus' arrival and rejoice at his coming. This month of December, we've been studying Luke chapters 1 and 2, particularly the songs of praise that are offered up concerning the long-awaited birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we've come to the final song there, and the setting for this last song in our sermon series is Jerusalem. Jesus is probably around 40 days old, and Mary and Joseph have come to the temple for a couple of reasons. One, for Mary's purification ceremony, which was to take place 40 days after giving birth to a son. And you can read about that in Leviticus 12. And then in addition to her purification ceremony, we will see in our text that Joseph and Mary have come to present Jesus to the Lord. Ever since God used the plague of the firstborn son to free the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, all firstborn sons belong to the Lord. Therefore, Israelite families were to acknowledge this fact by presenting their firstborn son to the Lord and buying him back, as it were, with an offering. And you could read about that in Exodus 13 and Numbers 18. Well, let's look at our text this morning. That kind of gives us the setting. Let me read from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 down through really verse 38. Luke 2:22. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you how it reveals the truth of your living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I ask that your spirit would come and would fill me and give me clarity and boldness to proclaim your word. And I pray that you would give ears to hear and eyes to see to all who hear this message now. May they see the risen Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him, follow him, and wait for him. We ask all these things for the glory of your name. Amen. All right, so we have our setting. Mary and Joseph, along with the baby Jesus, again, probably about 40 days old, are at the temple. And having told us that, in verse 25, our attention is directed to this man, Simeon. Let's look at that again. Luke says in verse 25, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon." And look what he says about him. "This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." So this is the man who's going to proclaim this final song of praise, as it were, that we want to study today. And notice how he is described. He's righteous and devout. That means Simeon was morally righteous before God. And devout means that Simeon was a faithful follower of God. He was a man who feared God and obeyed God's law. Now, I don't think we should necessarily think he was a priest. The text doesn't say that. Perhaps, very likely, he was a faithful layman who just loved the Lord. And notice, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, it says. That means Simeon believed that God would keep his promises that he had made to his people. He would keep his promise to deliver Israel, his people. And this hope was associated with the coming of the Messiah. So when we see that he's waiting for the consolation of Israel, that means he's waiting for the Christ. He's waiting for the Messiah to come, God's promised king. Interestingly, the word used here for consolation is the same word that is translated comfort in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, in a couple of key verses. Isaiah 40 verse 1 that says, "Comfort, comfort my people." That's that same word as consolation here. Later in Isaiah 66, 13, where it says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." And those verses in Isaiah are promises talking about the coming of the Messiah. So Simeon was waiting for the coming of God's promised king. Simeon expected God to keep his promise. He expected God to, in fact, send the Messiah to deliver Israel from their enemies. And Simeon was looking forward to, he was hoping in that day, believing it would come. He believed God, and he kept looking for and longing for that day. And so not only is he one of God's faithful people who's believing God's word, believing the promises, but notice verse 25 says the Holy Spirit was upon him. So there's something special about Simeon. He's devoted to God. He has a strong faith in the promise of God, but he is specifically gifted with the work of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we're in the Old Covenant, so not every member of God's people has the Holy Spirit upon him. This is something special about Simeon. Simeon had received special revelation from the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen God's promised Messiah come. So again, we picture a kind of an old man, right? I don't guess he had to be old, but probably he was. And he knows he's been given this promise, and he's just waiting for, when is this going to happen? The Spirit of God was with Simeon in a special way. Not only had he received that promise, that revelation, that he would not die before he'd seen the Messiah, but it says here that the Spirit was upon him, and we see in verse 27 that the Holy Spirit moved in Simeon's heart to go to the temple on the very day that Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple for the purification and dedication that I described earlier. So look at what happens then in verse 27. "And he," Simeon, "came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents," Mary and Joseph, "brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law," verse 28, "he," Simeon, "took him," Jesus, "up in his arms and blessed God, saying, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.'" What a amazing scene, right? Simeon, led by the Spirit, sees Jesus. He knows that he is the one whom God's people have been waiting for. He knows that he's the promised Messiah. And so he scoops this baby Jesus up in his arms, and he praises God. And he declares that this baby boy is, in fact, the promised Messiah who had come to deliver God's people. What an awesome scene. "Lord, now I can die in peace," he's saying, "because my eyes have seen your salvation." I love the way he says that. He said, He says, because I'm seeing Jesus, my eyes have seen your salvation. He directly connects God's salvation with Jesus, right? Jesus is salvation. Jesus brings salvation to those who embrace him by faith. Simeon says, God, just like you said you would, you've allowed me to see the arrival of the Messiah, the promised King who's come to bring salvation to your people. And then notice what he says about that salvation that Jesus is bringing in verse 30. My eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. That's interesting, that you have prepared. He's saying that this salvation has been planned out ahead of time by God. It's been prepared. According to God's design, salvation would come through the Messiah. And now he's saying, this plan that you've been preparing, God, it's being fulfilled. And we think back to what the Bible says in the Old Testament, how God had promised this salvation to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And since then, he had been preparing the groundwork for the coming of Jesus. He had formed a nation through Jacob's sons. And then there in those years in Egypt, he had grown them and multiplied them. And then he redeemed that nation from bondage through Moses and the plagues. And then he had entered into a covenant with Israel. Through the leadership of Moses. And God instituted a sacrificial system which showed that the wages of sin is death, but that atonement for sins could be made through the sacrifice of a spotless substitute. You see, all of this was groundwork preparing the way for God's coming salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the Bible explains that the sacrifice of bulls and goats could never take away sin, but they were to be offered in faith. Faith that in the future God would send the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, who would make atonement for the sins of his people. And then as you chart the course of the nation of Israel, they went through a lot of ups and downs and because of their sin. But God, through his prophets, kept proclaiming this promise that the Savior would come. He was prepared, even through their sin and even through discipline and judgment, he was preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah. So we put it all together and we say, through the promises to Abraham, through the law, through the shortcomings of the kings, through the proclamation of the prophets, through the exile and the conquering of the nation, God had been preparing Israel for the Messiah to come and bring salvation. And Simeon is saying, yes, finally, now that salvation has arrived. The salvation that you've prepared, it's being fulfilled. The Messiah has come. And notice something else about this salvation. He says, not only is Jesus bringing a salvation that's been prepared, it's been planned by God, but it's also universal in its impact. Look at verse 32. He says, he describes Jesus and what the salvation he's bringing as a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. So he's saying, he's praising God, saying this salvation that Jesus brings is not just for Jews, but for Gentiles as well. Yes, Jesus brings glory to Israel because they are the people through whom the Savior came. Jesus was born and raised and lived as a Jew. But this Jewish Messiah is also a light for revelation to the Gentiles. God's plan of salvation had been revealed to the Jews through the law and the prophets, but now Gentiles would learn of this salvation, and now Gentiles would have access to it through the proclamation of the gospel. Jesus had not come just to deliver Jewish people, no, but to bring salvation through the forgiveness of sins to people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. That's why we saw last week that the angels announced to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. All kinds of people can be saved through Jesus Christ. So Simeon declares to Joseph and to Mary, to anyone else in the temple there who can hear, that salvation, the salvation Jesus brings was for Jews and Gentiles, for anyone who would bow before God's King in repentance and faith. So what a scene this is. How Jesus was coming in fulfillment of God's promises. And that God's plan had always been to save people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. Remember, God's promise to Abraham was that through his seed, all nations would be blessed. And this plan was reiterated through the prophets. Isaiah 52:10 says, the Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Isaiah described the mission of the Messiah in Isaiah 49:6 like this: I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. And later Jesus, as he grows up and enters into public ministry, he himself would declare, I am the light of the world. So praise God for this salvation. Praise God for that Jesus brings salvation to Jews and Gentiles alike. And we think about how the gospel is going forth now. As it's preached, people from all over this world are experiencing this salvation through Jesus Christ. The same Spirit of God who gave Simeon these words on that day in the temple, that same Spirit is now today through the Word of God giving life and faith to people from every nation. No matter what specific forms of idolatry and false religion that they're been exposed to and steeped in, they're being saved. No matter what cultural pressures and persecutions they're facing, God is delivering them in a mighty way, in a powerful way, a gracious way through the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what Simeon declares. That's his proclamation of praise. And I won't spend much time on this next person, but notice down in verse 36, a second person who like Simeon, was waiting for the Messiah and rejoiced at his coming. Verse 36 says, there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. You see how similar Anna is to Simeon? They have very similar qualities, don't they? She too is devoted to God. She's been a widow for most of her long life here. Rather than remarry, she was widowed at a young age, and rather than remarrying, she chose a lifetime of service to God. And so day after day, she's been demonstrating her devotion to the Lord by going to the temple, continually worshiping God with fasting and prayer. And she too is being led by the Spirit here. Like Simeon, Anna had been blessed with the Spirit. As a prophetess, she spoke for God. And at that very moment that Joseph and Mary are at the temple performing their duties under the law, Anna approached them and began giving thanks to God for this baby boy who would bring God's promised salvation. And Anna, it's like she's addressing the crowd, anyone who's gathered around, telling them, hey, this baby is God's promised king who is bringing salvation to all kinds of people. It's like she's rejoicing and saying, all of you who've been waiting for our promised salvation, the time has come. The one for whom we've been waiting for so long is here. Our redemption is here. And as I studied this week, those two responses to Jesus, those two descriptions of Simeon and Anna, I was struck by this theme of waiting, right? You see Simeon and Anna, two Spirit-filled saints who have been waiting for God's promised Messiah. You also have mention of other faithful ones in Israel there who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Again, a way of saying they're waiting for the Messiah to come and deliver them. And these faithful ones, especially Simeon and Anna, are blessed with getting to see Jesus. Again, Jesus, the Lord's salvation. And as I thought about that, loved ones, I thought about us now as New Covenant believers, how by God's grace, we've been given eyes of faith to see Jesus and to see and know the salvation that he brings. Through the Word of God, we see how the eternal Son of God left the glory of heaven to become a man. Through the Word of God, we see Jesus. We see his arrival. That's what we've been celebrating here at Christmas time. And through the Word of God, we see how Jesus lived a perfect life under God's law, securing the righteousness we need to be in God's presence. Again, through the pages of Scripture, we see Jesus at the Last Supper. Do you see him there with the eyes of faith at the Last Supper saying, take, eat, this bread is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood of the covenant which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. And then, through the Word of God, we see Jesus. In the greatest act of love ever, we see him willingly enduring the beatings and the mocking. We see him suffering on the cross, bearing our sin and our punishment. We hear him cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? We see him give then one final shout of victory, right? He was bearing the wrath of God that we deserve, but then in the end, we see him give out a final shout of victory. It is finished, as he then gives up his spirit and dies on the cross in the place of his people. Yes, through the pages of Scripture, through the eyes of faith, we see his body wrapped and laid in a tomb. And then on the third day, we see the stone rolled away. And along with the other eyewitnesses, through the pages of Scripture, we see Jesus alive, raised in a physical and glorified body. And so we rejoice knowing that he has done it. He has purchased full atonement. He has secured complete righteousness for all who believe. 40 days later, through the eyes of faith, we see Jesus ascend to heaven so he can reign from his throne at the right hand of the Father. And we hear his promise through the pages of Scripture, "Behold, I am coming soon." So by God's grace, by the Spirit's regenerating power, we, like Simeon and Anna, rejoice exceedingly and praise God for the coming of Christ. We praise God for the salvation that Jesus has brought to us and it continues to bring to others. By God's grace, with the eyes of faith, we have seen our salvation. We have turned from our sins and trusted in Jesus as Savior and Lord. And so we know, we rejoice in the fact that our sins are forgiven. We know that we have eternal life. We know that God loves us and has adopted us because his Holy Spirit indwells us and bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And so to all those watching and listening, I just want to ask you, do you see Jesus? Have you seen the things I've been describing? Do you see him with the eyes of faith? Do you believe what the Word of God declares about Jesus? And have you personally turned from your sins and trusted in Christ alone for your salvation? Have you embraced him as not only your Savior, but as Lord? And are you seeking to follow him now by faith? If not, I urge you to today. I pray that the Spirit is showing you even now what the Bible says, what Jesus himself declared is true, that he alone is Savior and Lord. And something else we see from this passage that because Jesus declares that he is Savior and Lord, his coming demands a response from everyone. You can't just stay neutral about Jesus. Simeon declared in verse 34 that Jesus' coming would bring a divided response. He explained that Jesus is that precious cornerstone that the Bible speaks of in Isaiah chapters 8 and 28. Peter will talk more about that in his epistle as well, right? But this stone, this cornerstone, God's cornerstone, provides a solid foundation and direction to those who trust in it, who build their lives upon it by faith. So Jesus is salvation. He is Lord to all who embrace him. But to those who reject it, the stone, rather than saving them, rather than being the foundation for them for eternity, the stone causes them to stumble and fall. And so Simeon was praising God, but he was kind of warning Mary and Joseph and certainly us then through the pages of Scripture, that the response to Jesus would be divided. Those who trust in him, those who stake all their hope on his finished work on the cross, they will not be disappointed. It's a firm foundation. Though they themselves too will be scoffed at and persecuted, they will be vindicated. They will be saved. That's what he says when Jesus will bring the rising of many. But to those who reject Jesus as God's way of salvation, again, he'll be a stone they stumble over. They'll find themselves stumbling and falling into eternal judgment. And so I pray that no one listening and watching, that would be your response today. May you not stumble over Jesus. May you not stumble over his claims that he alone is the Savior, that he is the only way for sinful man to be made right with God, that he is Lord of all. He's conquered sin and death. And now he's risen to the highest place, far above all other rules and powers and authorities. He is Lord, and he is coming again to judge the world. And may you not stumble over that truth. By God's grace, willingly embrace him today, turning from your sins and joyfully receiving the salvation that he brings. So that's Simeon's song. He rejoices at his coming, rejoices at the salvation that Jesus brings, but he warns that the response to Jesus would be divided. And so let us not be duped into thinking that we can remain neutral about Jesus. Failure to follow him as Savior and Lord is the same as rejecting who Jesus claimed to be. And now, again, believers, we, by God's grace, we have embraced Jesus. He is that precious cornerstone. And so we can rejoice at his coming. We can, those of us who believe, those of us who rejoice at his coming, we've been celebrating that this month especially. We've already seen his coming through the eyes of faith, but we're also waiting to see Jesus, aren't we? God has given us eyes of faith to see Jesus through the Word of God, but we know that Jesus has promised that there's a day coming when we'll see him with our physical eyes, when we'll see him with in resurrected, glorified bodies. And so we too are still waiting for Jesus. And we can rejoice in God's promises, just like he kept his promises to send Jesus the first time. He will be faithful to keep his promise that Jesus is coming again. And so one day we will see him with physical eyes. One day our eyes of faith will become sight. One day we will see Jesus, our salvation. Right? One day we'll get to be like Simeon and look on the Lord's salvation. We'll see the risen Lord Jesus Christ in a physical, glorified body. What a day that will be. Think of what that will be like. We will fall at his feet. The same feet that were pierced for us will fall at those feet and worship him. We'll be able to kiss his brow, that same brow which bore the crown of thorns for us. We'll be able to hug the one who loved us and gave himself up for us on the cross. We'll be able to reign. The Bible says we will reign with him who rules over all in righteousness forever. And we'll be able to dwell with Jesus. And Jesus will get rid of sin, death, and crying forever. A new heavens and a new earth. And we'll be able to dwell with him in that new heavens and new earth forever. And so, loved ones, just like Simeon and Anna were rejoicing and declaring, I want you to know Jesus is worth waiting for. Our Lord Jesus Christ is worth waiting for. 1 Peter 1:6 says, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And so, believer, today I just want to encourage you, and may the Lord encourage you with his promises, with his word, that Jesus is worth waiting for. Even though you're going through trials now, you can rejoice in the salvation he's already brought. You can know that he's coming again for you and that you'll see him one day. He is worth waiting for. And while we wait for his second coming, let us do what the Bible says. Let us do, model ourselves after Simeon and Anna. Let us worship Jesus in truth. Let us, as we wait, let us fellowship with him now in love. Let us proclaim him in awe and in faithfulness. Let us follow him in righteousness. Let us serve him in joy. And let us long for him in hope. our precious Lord Jesus Christ is worth waiting for. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for your love, for your grace in sending your Son. Oh, what a joy it's been this month to just focus on the coming of the Lord Jesus, to celebrate his coming, to be reminded of all that he has accomplished, to be reminded of how you keep your promises, to see your people celebrating at the coming of Jesus, and to know that we too can and should be celebrating today. And so, Father, we praise you for what Christ has accomplished. We praise you for his finished work. We praise you for the salvation that he is bringing to people all over this world. May you continue to save many among us. And Lord, I pray for your people today. I pray that you will continue to strengthen them, continue to help them to believe in your promises, to remember all that Christ has done for them, to enjoy the salvation that he's already brought them, and to serve him and wait for him in faith and hope. And so, Lord, please strengthen your people today. Give grace to those who are especially going through difficult times, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Loved ones, may the Lord give you grace to continue to turn from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.